Going to start with our first testimony today. So Jared, if you'd come, please.
Hello, my name is Jared, and I'm sure you guys all have seen me sit in that corner over there. And I think I've been attending Sovereign Grace Baptist for about a year now, and I can say it has been such a blessing. I was born on July 21st. 1996, in the beautiful city of San Francisco. I lived in Northern California for half of my life. And growing up, I never really had a home, but rather I would move between my mom's grandparents' house and my dad's grandparents' house. So let me take this out. Each located about an hour away from each other. These places are where I would spend most of my days spending time with my family. And since I am of Filipino descent, most Filipinos are raised Catholic, in which my case was not so different. Therefore, I started learning about Mass, the saints, communion, Mary, and, like, least importantly, Jesus. That was a joke. However, as tensions between my family arose, my parents found some spiritual strength by attending church, which ironically was a Calvinistic Baptist church, Faith Christian Fellowship. However, I only attended church because my parents made me, which left me to think why we had to keep coming back because of the lack of teaching. A few years later, due to more family tensions, we moved to Southern California, where we lived with my uncle and my family. During this time, our parents suggested to my uncle that everyone started attending church as well. This led me to attending Calvary Chapel for almost 8 years of my life. When I was about 11, I became convicted and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My faith in God was brand new, and my love for Jesus was real. And the Lord showed me my sin, which in turn led to repentance. Shortly, I was baptized when I was 13, and I started to become much more involved in the church, helping out in the children's ministry, playing for the worship team, vacation Bible school, etc. However, once I hit high school, I started becoming more engulfed in sin and neglecting God. I knew these things were going against God, and I still did them because of my desire to sin. However, I did not know if I was saved or not, because of the life I was living. Once I graduated, the Spirit stirred up inside of me and revitalized my love for Christ by revealing to me the doctrines of grace through my friend Nick, something that I didn't even realize, which was simple and right before my eyes, was chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man is a slave to sin, and how impossible it is for me to desire God. However, I also learned that all the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. The Spirit changed me through my realization of how truly sinful I am, and just how truly I did not fully understand how God was in control of everything. This gave me a brand new perspective on learning the gospel and started on focusing on finding myself in Christ. However, the more I attended Calvary, the less I was getting fed. I was becoming parched in my thirst for Christ and needed more. And Sovereign Grace is where I found my new desire for Christ, and now I'm excited to be part of His family.
All right. Hi, everybody. This is, I'm Brennan, and this is my wife, Brianna. Yeah, we've been going here for a little bit, and we really wanted to become members, so here we are. Wait, my testimony, I grew up in a Christian home, but I never really understood what it meant to live for Christ. When I was young, I had a lot of trials and difficulties. While I was young, I would later realize all my trials and difficulties were God nudging me towards Him, and my heart was really hard. I had a really hard time actually perceiving what God was actually trying to show me. I guess I accepted Christ when I was young. I didn't really fully understand what I was making any statement towards or what I was doing at all. I didn't really understand that until I became a lot older. I didn't spend my life living like I loved Christ, though. I was rabidly against him. And into my late high school years, I was dealing with a lot of stuff. And the only way that I realized that I could deal with any of it was by writing poetry and music. And that was my only outlet. But it only worked for so long before I didn't know how to deal with my internal struggles. So into my early 20s, I started drinking a lot, and I had issues with that. And then eventually met my wife, and all of that sort of kind of changed. And that was God working his sanctification in me. And still, even then, I didn't fully realize it. And she kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things that God had been trying to show me, but I was too hard to see. And as I continued my life, I started becoming more absorbed with God, and I had a good friend of mine that showed me the doctrines of grace and such, and started to fully appreciate and understand what God was doing in my life, because I couldn't have seen it before until I was heavily confronted by him several times, almost like physically knocking me over, in a sense, because I was really hardened. But all these actions and God working in me were sanctifying towards trying to build me into the man that he wants me to be. And I think I'm starting to understand that more and more. I've been working as an EMT for a while, and I'm in paramedic school, and I work a lot. So there are times when it's kind of hard for us to be here, but I want to be here as often as I can be and as involved as I can be. Yeah, so that's me, and here's my wife.
Well, I'm Brianna, and mine is much shorter than both of theirs. But growing up, my family didn't really go to church, and it wasn't until I was in my junior high years that we started going to church, and that was after many years of hardship with my family. My dad was an alcoholic, and so that led me and my family to some emotional and physical abuse at times, and it wasn't until we had dealt with a huge family crisis that my dad decided that as a family we would be going to church. But as a younger teenager, I wasn't very receptive to that because I had lived my life for so long the way that we did, so it was very different for me. I was going to church really without any commitment, just going because my dad said that we had to. I grew in that, and I started to believe more and wanted to do more things on my own, but I still didn't fully understand everything that I was supposed to be doing as a Christian or supposed to be doing to show, because I wasn't really living that way. I would say I was doing one thing but live my life another way with my parents and my friends, and it wasn't until I met my husband and that he started introducing me to the doctrines of grace and stuff like that that I started to really understand. And I had a really uncomfortable conversation with a pro-choice friend of mine, and that conversation had shown me that I didn't know as much as I should have, and it made me want to learn more and do more, because something that I really believed in, and I wanted to really understand why. And that's really it. But, yeah.
Okay, Rosemary.
Good morning. My name is Rose Shumate. I am 16, and I've been going to this church all my life. Growing up, God blessed me with two God-fearing parents to guide me and train me up in righteousness. But because of my heart of stone, I made an effort to listen to as little of my parents' talk about hell and repentance as possible. A large part of my childhood was spent rebelling. Whenever my sisters babysat me when my mom was out, I was by far their biggest problem. If they changed the rules or gave me orders of any kind, I made sure they hated their jobs. On several of those nights, I had to be dragged, kicking and screaming, to my bedroom because of my refusal to do anything they asked. I was very stubborn and thought I had to fix everyone to be like me. In church, I wasn't much better. When I sat still during service, it was to win the approval and compliments of others. In most of my prayers, I said, I asked God to keep me safe from death or to bring any stray puppies that had wandered into the yard back to me. As I got older, I stopped praying and eventually pushed all thought of God out of my mind. On a trip to Gleanings for the Hungry, I met a girl my age who came to faith in Christ after making it out of a car accident. When she asked me if I wanted to become a Christian, I either ignored her or changed the subject. When I was 15, I picked up some Cosmopolitan magazines and started reading them. This became an obsession for me. Every chance I could, I would hide away and read one. They were my idol. They said wrong was right, and I happily accepted that. Even though I knew I was sinning, I was lost and thinking there was no way out. Now that I look back at the dark place I was in, I realize I was accepting the wickedness and lies this magazine put out to make a profit. But of course I knew that. I knew God was displeased. All that mattered to me at that time was how I felt. When I think of the person I used to be, and that a holy and perfect God sent his Son to bear my sin and die so that I might live, it amazes me how little I am deserving for him to hear my prayers. Yet he does. How loving our Heavenly Father is. In May of 2017, I met someone who brought God back into my mind. I even started praying again, which I hadn't done in years. For 6 months, I started to notice changes that bothered me. I lost all enjoyment listening to music, and every conversation I had, or anything I said seemed superficial. It also began to bother me whenever God was brought up in a conversation I had with my friend. The turning point for me was sometime last October during a conversation I had with my mom about the curse of sin and how to be saved. I cried as she read passages of scripture to me and prayed for me. Later that night, I went to my room, said my own prayer. I prayed that God would work in my heart and give me, an undeserving person, new life in him. The next day was Sunday. I cried when we sang hymn 94, whatever my God ordains is right. I cried when I read Psalm 57, and I cried myself to sleep that night. The Lord was showing me my depravity and what he did for me. After a couple days of this cycle, I prayed that God would give me peace and assurance. He took away my grief and replaced it with joy. Joy that I was no longer lost. Joy that he had taken away my bitterness and hatred for others and had given me a new heart and new desires. He gave me a love for the truth and the scriptures. I look forward to learning and growing in the faith with you all, and for those who don't know Christ. Everything we are is because of God. Turn to him while there is still time.
Very nice. Amen. And we do have one more testimony. So, Caleb, if you would come, please.
So hello, everybody. I'm Caleb, and I do recognize most of you guys since I've been here for a little while now. So thank you, everybody, for coming to just support those of us who are joining this church. I've been here for about 6 years now, and so there was something I was going to say right there that I can't remember. But I just wanted to apologize for being here for so long without applying for membership. It's kind of a long time for me to be here without doing that. I did have a lot of serious questions that I was thinking about and wanted to work through, but I didn't really apply myself towards trying to find the answers to those questions the way I should. So I do feel like I should give an apology. In any case, I also wanted to thank Pastor C for being so patient with me over all these years. So, thank you. I was raised in Christianity from the time of my childhood, and I think it was about second grade that I first came to know the Lord. I was raised in a Pentecostal church where my pastor was actually my great uncle. And it was through his ministry and through the ministry of my parents to me that I came to know the Lord. So I remember there was an altar call, sort of a situation in the second grade class, and I did decide to go forward. And I also did that a few more times further on in the years when I went to Harvest Crusades that Greg Laurie does. So even though I don't, I no longer believe that it's biblical to have altar calls, really, or that we're saved through altar calls, or raising your hand, or going forward. I'm not sure if I ever believed that we're saved through that. We're saved through our faith and in Christ and repentance. But God did save me at an early age. We started going to a Calvary Chapel where my parents were serving. For a good amount of years, and I served there for a little bit. Then we changed from that Calvary Chapel to another Calvary Chapel, and we were there for a very long time, and that was a very important experience in my life. I was there in my high school years, I was there in my college years, and when I was in high school, I remember going to retreats. They had a lot of retreats in the mountains and at the beach. And at the beach, I remember being baptized on one occasion by the youth pastor, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, of course, we're supposed to be baptized, if you're a believer. So I'm glad that I don't have to be baptized today. Yeah, so my time in Calvary Chapel was full of a lot of blessings, very important in my life. In the year 2008, I was finishing up my bachelor's degree, and I remember taking a class on legends, folklore, and mythology. And it was a very interesting class, but I actually ended up becoming quite angry because they were stating that certain biblical accounts were mythology and that they were folklore. And I became really angry because as I reflected upon this situation, I realized that almost every college class that I ever took attacked Christianity and the Word of God in one way or another. And so this was towards the end of my bachelor's degree, and I was just like, wow, we really have quite a situation out there in our society. So I decided that it would be a good idea to see if I could help out at my church by trying to help others defend the faith. I was encouraged to research as many apologetic resources as possible. So I was looking up all kinds of different preachers who spent their time defending the faith. Little did I know that that was going to be my avenue towards theological change. Of course, you have people who are thinking about things and talking about things that you're not used to thinking about, then that gets you thinking. And so, you know, my beliefs did change. After a while, I started to look for a different church. So thinking back on that time of reflection, of transition, I believe that God was very gracious in bringing me here because I had a lot of questions and I was very concerned about a number of things at that time. This was probably my first church that I went to visit during that search. And everybody has made me feel comfortable, and there's plenty of opportunity to ask questions and have them answered. So I want to thank God for bringing me here. I very much appreciate the commitment to truth and learning that we see here in this church. I'm thankful to be able to join and look forward to growing more in the future.
Amen. Those are our five testimonies this morning to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. On May 20th, we'll bring in two new members, Daniel and Fernanda over here. Fernanda will be baptized on that day too, so we'll wait till May 20th to do that, but we already welcome you too. So good. What I'd like us to do right now, if you have a bulletin, you have a copy of the Church Covenant. Let's stand together, please, and we do this from time to time. These are the promises that we make to each other. Now, we don't always fulfill these promises because we're sinners, and we have to look to Christ by grace and daily cleansing. But when we do join the church and we're a family and the family of God, this is the covenant that we have, and it's the covenant that we try to fulfill for one another. So try to stay with me, paragraph by paragraph, and let's read it together to the glory of the Lord. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to joyfully submit to the authority of the Triune God, the Word of God, and the under-shepherds of God, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of its poor, and the spread of the gospel to all nations. We also engage to maintain a good testimony and witness to our family members and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger, and to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We also further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and courtesy of speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation, and mindful of the rules of our Savior, to secure it without delay. We moreover engage that when we remove from this place, it will never be for unreconciled attitudes or sins, nor while under church discipline, and we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.